I magnify the Lord this morning and I praise him, you know, because we are in the land of the living. The psalmist said, the living shall praise thee. The dead cannot praise the Lord. So in thy word, O Lord, will we praise thy name today. Glory to God. I'm going to read a story to us today from the word of God. And then let's see what God will have for us. We're talking today, this morning, about bitter waters made sweet. That's our topic of exhortation this morning. And there's a story I want to read, and there's some things that we want to bring out of this story. And I trust that the Lord, you know, will bless our hearts. You know, before we get started, let me remind us that, you know, we are commanded to keep the fire burning. According to Leviticus 6, 12 and 13, he said, we shall burn wood upon it every morning, and the fire must not be put out. You know, so that's one of the reasons why we're here, is to burn wood upon that thing, that altar every morning, and let not the fire go out. Glory to God. If you haven't already shared the room, please do that. Share it on your Clubhouse channel. And share it also, you know, to your friends. You know, sharing the room is good. It's a good thing because, you know, you can bring somebody in and they'll get a blessing. And then you get a blessing for them getting a blessing because you got the reward. So, Lord, we thank you as we enter into thy word. The entrance of your word gives light and it giveth understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. Let's engage the Lord today in the spirit. I often like to remind people to do that. When you hear the word of God, it is what you hear in the spirit that's going to make any difference to you at all. You know, if you don't hear it in the spirit, it's not going to make any difference. Why? Because Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why I always tell people, engage the Lord in the spirit when you are listening to the word of God. You know, you cannot engage him in the flesh. It's not going to work. The flesh profits nothing. But the words that you will hear by the grace of God today, hear them directly from the Spirit of God. You, even though I may be the one speaking, God has to speak it directly to you in order for it to make any impact. You know, so you would, and as I'm speaking it, God will take you even into deeper dimensions of revelation. You know, that's when we have engaged him in the Spirit. That's how it works. When you engage God in the Spirit and you're hearing the Word of God, Jesus said, look, you guys cannot hear my word because you are not of God, but he that is of God heareth God's word. You know, as you are a child of God and you're hearing the word of God, he will take you into dimensions of the spirit and he will expand even the message that is coming through to your heart, and you will get even deeper revelation than what the speaker is even saying, because that's the way it works when we are engaged in the spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God bless everyone. Welcome again this morning. Today it's bitter waters made sweet. And I am going to start by reading us a story, and I'll tell us some part of this story which we know already, you know, but let's review it together and let's see what the Lord is going to tell us. Now, you know, I will give you some punchlines as we go through this story today. You know, so today's story is taken from Exodus chapter 15. That's where we're taking this story from. But before we get to Exodus chapter 15, I want to let you know that there are certain things that God told Moses to tell Pharaoh. You know, this will be found in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18. And I want to bring out a point here. This is what the Lord said to Moses. He said in Exodus 3 and verse 18, he said, look, when you talk to the elders of the children of Israel and so forth, you know, they shall hearken to your voice. You will tell them, and then you will also tell to the king. But he said, well, the king will not let you go except by a mighty hand. But you will say to them, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us go. We beseech you 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Now, 3 days journey, that's what the Lord said. You know, let's go 3 days journey into the wilderness. Well, that's what he said. That's what he put out there. You know, so God doesn't tell you the whole thing all at once, you know, but he told them they can go 3 days journey. And 3 days journey, well, led into something else. And we're going to pick up the story at the end of those 3 days. That's where we're picking up our story today. You know, so that same, the same challenge and message is given to them in Exodus 5 and verse 3. When Moses got to, you know, when Moses got to Egypt, he went before Pharaoh and said, you know, the Lord God of Israel said, let my people go. Exodus 5 and verse 1, you know, that they may go and hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And he said, look, so Moses and Aaron said to this guy, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey to the wilderness. Sacrifice unto the Lord our God, you know, lest he bring pestilence upon us and so forth. And of course, he didn't let them go. Now, we're talking about the 3 days journey, all right? So, it's two places right now that he has mentioned it so far. Exodus 3:18, Exodus 5 and 3. And there's yet more one where he will mention is in Exodus 8 and 27. You know, so he keeps talking about these 3 days journey. You know, here's what Moses said, you know, to them again. Pharaoh, let's read it from verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. There's been some plagues already at this time. He said, go ye, sacrifice the Lord to your God in the land. Go and do it in Goshen, where you live. Moses said, no. We're not going to do that. We do not want to sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians because, you know, it's an abomination for them to even rear cattle and all of that. You know, so if they have to sacrifice that, the Egyptians will see it. You know, so he said, no, we're not going to do it. We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice the Lord our God as he has commanded us. You know, so. And he will give us even more instructions when we get there. Remember, this is what he said. We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us. So Moses already knew that there was some commandment coming after the 3 days. He knew in his heart that it wasn't only going to be 3 days, but God was going to give it to them step by step. You know, go 3 days. You know, and then I'll let you know what comes next. You know, so Moses knew it. This is very key. This is one of the things I want to underscore in this message today. Moses knew that it was going to be more than 3 days, but 3 days is what God has given us thus far. And when we get to the end of those 3 days, the Lord shall command us. And that's very important. You know, so we've seen this instruction of go 3 days into the wilderness. So we've seen that. Okay. So they embarked upon this journey finally after God brought a strong hand. So many plagues, as you know. And the last one was the, you know, God is sending the angel of destruction, passing through the land, killing all the firstborn of the land, whether man or beast, you know, but he also said upon, you know, the children of Israel, not a single thing evil will happen to them. You know, evil will not touch you, he said, you know, but you will go into your houses. You put the blood on the lintels and so forth like that. So anyway, you know the story. So the Lord He delivered them out by a strong hand. In fact, they thrust them out finally, you know, but God kept, you know, because of all the evil they did in, all the evil the Lord brought into the land, the Lord even allowed them to rob all the people. They willingly gave them, just get away from us, you know. Exodus 11 verse 7, the Lord said that against none of the children of Israel, not even a dog will wag his tongue, neither against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God will make a difference, you know, between his children and the world. I remember God telling me this to tell the people of our church here. This at the beginning of 2020, and I knew nothing about the pandemic. I had not heard a word about it. I knew nothing about it. You know, and I was seeking the Lord what to say. And he said, tell them that this year I will make a differentiation and that plagues were coming, but that God will make a differentiation. And I said, you said it to the people, you know, that don't think that there's going to be peace. There's going to be trouble this year, but God's going to make a difference between you and the rest of the world. And he did, you know, and the Lord verified that word. And later on, we found that it was the pandemic. You know, that was what God was speaking about. God didn't reveal all his word at that time. He just revealed a little bit. He said, well, just tell them that evil is coming, but I will make a differentiation. How that I will put a differentiation between you and the world. You know, so God doesn't always have to reveal all his word. You know, he just, in this case, he revealed 3 days. Go 3 days. That's it. You go 3 days. And so they went. And after they went, after the grievous death of all the firstborn of Egypt, starting from Pharaoh's firstborn, who was supposed to be the heir to the throne, and everybody down to cattle and all, they thrust them out with a strong hand. And when they went, you know, the story of the Red Sea and all of that and so forth. So they went through all that. Finally, you know, finally they got to this place where we're going to pick the story up. We're going to pick the story up. But it is an interesting story. There are many pieces and things that we can learn. You know, there are things we can learn from how God took them and where he took them through. The Bible says he took them. He did not, you know, take them through the way that was shorter. Because if they were to go through that way, you know, they may see some war. And their hearts may be troubled and they might want to turn back to Egypt. So the Lord took them through the way of the Red Sea, which was a whole lot longer. You know, he took them through there. He even put them in a corner somewhere, you know, so that, you know, Pharaoh in his heart would think that, yeah, I got them boxed in, you know. So the Lord did all of that. Well, finally, they got through the Red Sea. God rid of all their enemies in the Red Sea that day. And then they moved on. So now we pick up the story. In Exodus 15, after that great deliverance, Moses sang unto the Lord, you know, Miriam and all of them took tambourines and they were happy and they were praising the Lord. Okay, so they sang how God had overthrown Pharaoh and his chariots in the wilderness, I mean, in the Red Sea and so forth, you know, and then they were ready to move on. You know, it seemed like finally God had gotten rid, because Moses had told them, look, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them henceforth no more. You know, after today, you will not see them. And God fulfilled, he verified that word. So now we pick up this story in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. You know, all I said so far was just the background to this story. So this is the story where we're going. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness. Now remember, that's what God said. Go 3 days, 3 days journey into this wilderness. And Moses said it 3 times, you know, and God told him, and he said it, you know, multiple times. So everybody knew that it was 3 days journey. And Moses had said, after 3 days, the Lord will command us, you know, what next, you know, so everybody knew, right? But look how quickly, see how quickly they forgot. My goodness. How quickly did they forget? So here are some things that we're coming up against in this story. Now, when they got to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days, like the Lord commanded, they found no water. So that's number one thing. You know, well, that's number two thing. Number one thing was what the Lord had said. You go 3 days, but that's all he said. And Moses knew in his heart, the Lord will command us after that. So here's number two thing. Number two thing, you now do that 3 days thing that the Lord said you should do, and you get there, and there's no water. And so this is where we pick up our story today. Now, just because God gave you a word and you step out in faith, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that does not mean that you are not going to meet obstacles on the way. As a matter of fact, God himself will test you. Now, God doesn't test you in order to make you fail, you know, but he will test you to bring out, test you on your strong points. You see what you got, you know. So God will test you, and I will show you that in a minute. So they got to Shur, there was no water. And then, okay, so they went from Shur to Mara. Then they found water, but the waters were bitter. So first, there was no water. Here's God telling us, after all these hundreds of years that we've been suffering here, you know, finally he gets it out with a great hand. And we come into this place. I mean, we narrowly escaped, you know, the Egyptians killing us at the Red Sea. And yet we get, you know, even at the Red Sea, they were already complaining to Moses. Look, are there no graves in Israel? I mean, in Egypt? Why do you have to bring us out here to that? You could have left us there. But of course, the Lord had mercy on them, got them through. So they get into this place again. You know, you said we're coming 3 days into this place. There is no water. What are we going to do here? Okay. Then they say, okay, let's go a little further. You know, that's so they go, we get to Mara. And there was water. So it seemed like, finally, a little breakthrough. But then the waters were bitter. So let me pause there and tell you some things that happen in real life. Real life, you know, when you ask for things from the Lord, or when the Lord tells you a little word sometimes, you know, you get there, you know, and he sometimes, instead of a blessing, you might find a problem, you know, that these people found a real problem, but the Lord was testing them. You know, you ask for a spouse and you get married, but it's trouble the first few years of the marriage. You know, you ask for children, the Lord blesses you with the children, but then they become wayward. You know, I mean, on and on and on. You ask for a job, you get the job, but when you get there, it's trouble every day on that job. You know, you are, even students, I don't know if they are on here, but I'll say, because somebody might listen to it later on. You ask for college admission, you go in there, but you trouble, you know, I mean, on your exams and everything, whatever you want to do, everywhere you go, you know, yes, the Lord made a little way. But you get there and all you find is problems. You know, now I call it contradictions against the word of promise. That's what I call it. When God said something, the next thing you know is all hell breaks loose. Mark chapter 4, there's a story in verses 35 to 40. It says, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. That's what he said. He didn't say, let us go and drown in the sea. Let us cross over to the other side. You know, and when they had sent a multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also other little ships, and then there arose a great storm. Now, as soon as God gives you the word, you're like, let's go over to the other side. Does that mean that it's going to be safe passage, an easy passage? No. All hell will break loose against that word. After 3 days' journey, they got to the place where they were expecting that God will meet with them. You know, but no, there was no water. You know, and they said, wow, what kind of thing is this? You know, but God was testing them. You know, God was testing them. God was testing them, but they didn't know it. The Bible says in Psalm 18 and verse 30 that the word of the Lord is tried. That's why I call it contradictions against the word of promise. The word of the Lord is tried. Everything that God promised you will be tried. Because God was proving them at the waters of Marah. We'll come to how he turned it into sweetness later on. But I'm trying to bring this story out. Psalm 18 and verse 30 tells you the word of the Lord is tried. Psalm 105 and verse 19 also tells us in the story of Joseph that the word of the Lord came and tried him. Now, you can read the whole of Psalm 105 and see the story, but that one verse in 19 says, a time came that the word of the Lord tried Jacob. Despite all the great things that he had seen in his dreams, and all that he will be great and so forth, the word of the Lord tried him. So sometimes, you know, when it looks like we are going through all of these things, it might actually be the word of the Lord that's been tried in your life. Now, the word of the Lord will be tried. You know, God's got to see, you know, what stuff you're made of. The word of the Lord. So Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He gets in the boat, and the boat is about to capsize. There's this incredible storm that comes at them. You know, I don't know, the wind blast and everything, tossing them up. And now, these are seasoned fishermen. You know, so if it was just some little storm, you know, they would have known how to weather it. You know, they do this for a living. This is not something strange to them. So this must have been some tremendous storm, different than what they're even used to, you know, because, you know, the word said, go to the other side. So that storm is going to come to make sure you don't get to the other side, or to make sure that you doubt that you can get to the other side, or to even make sure that you wonder if that's what he said to you. You know, so these things will happen. But you must remember what he said. Let's go to the other side. You must also remember Moses. You have to remember what he said, that after 3 days, he shall command us. And Moses will have to remind the people that the word of the Lord is yet coming. But God didn't tell him everything. You know, they already knew the promises that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and so forth like that. But this time around, he only gave them a piece of it. And he knows, I mean, they know that they're going to the promised land. They know that. But which way we're going to go, we only know he takes us this way. He doesn't want us to pass through the other way so that their hearts will not turn back to Egypt quickly. So it takes them by a long way. And then the first stop on the way, which is the 3 days, all they meet there is one. There's no water. And then they go a little further. That's in the wilderness of Shur. And then they get to Marah. And they find water. But the waters are bitter. Nobody can drink those waters. Now, so let's go back to our story. Back to our story in Exodus 15. So the story, the text today is from Exodus 15, verses 22 through about 27. So I'm going to read the rest of that text. You know, so they murmured against Moses in verse 24 and say, what shall we drink? First, there is no water. You tell us 3 days, you know, I mean, they probably took water and took some things to them, but after 3 days, they ran out. So there was nothing left for them. And then he said, well, let's carry on. The Lord's going to speak to us. Okay. All right, fine. And then they get to this place, and then there's water, but it's bitter. So when they murmured against Moses, Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, hallelujah, which when he had cast into the waters, now remember, it doesn't say he found a tree. No, the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. So this is where the title of this room comes from today. The bitter waters are now being turned sweet. But there is a reason why we are telling this story today. There are many aspects of this story. And here are the aspects of this story. He said, there the Lord, and Moses made an ordinance and a statute for the people. The Lord and Moses, he gave it to them. And there the Lord proved them. So there was a testing at the waters of Marah, you know, because God wanted to see where their heart was. And then the Lord said to them, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, you know, Moses put them, you know, the word of God through Moses said to them, if you will hearken, but this was God telling them directly, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight. Now, there's a big if here, you know, and many of the promises of God are like this in the Bible. There's always this big if somewhere. If you will hearken, there's four things he told them here. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, number one. And if you do that which is right in his sight, number two. And if you will give ear to his commandments, number three. And keep all his statutes, number four. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. Then I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord. I healeth thee. Glory to God. We quote this scripture. You know, most people know this scripture. We always quote it and so forth. But there's a story that led to this. You know, and then they came to Elim. There were already 12 wells of water that God had prepared there and 70 palm trees. It was just around the corner. And then when the blessing is just within reach, God will test you along the way. And the devil will bring contradictions. God will never bring contradictions, but God will test you. And God will use some of the devil's contradictions to test you, to see what stuff you got. You know, so it's just around the corner. God had prepared 12 wells and 70 palm trees that they can eat the palms, the dates and all of these things. And they can enjoy and have water and everything. I mean, there was enough wells for every one of the tribes and everything. And my goodness. But just before that, there was no water. And right before that, even the water they found was bitter. And there was testings all along the way. Now, when things are just within reach, October 1, God told us, and we started this room, Genesis 8 and 5, he said he's peeling back, you know, the waters and the top of the mountains will be visible. We see that. And then at the beginning of this month, he told us, look, you've dwelt enough in this place. It's time for you to move on. But it seems like, look, there's still challenges along the way. You know, 3 days journey. And the people expected that when they got after those 3 days, they would have met the Lord. There would have been some great things. I mean, this is God, you know, that showed them great signs. So after we get to the 3 days, you know, there should be, you know, some, I don't know, great thing happen. You know, but it wasn't like that. You know, God would test them through that. Now, every word of promise that God gives is must be mixed with faith. And we have to continue in the faith. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, it said that we have to remember that these same people whom God brought out with a mighty hand, right? Brought them out with a mighty hand. He said, look, he afterward destroyed them that believe not. And we've read that story here, you know, in this room. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 10, I would not have you ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink and for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent, you know, that they should not lust after evil things as they also lost them. But I would say these things were examples that to the intent that our hearts should not depart from the Lord and should not depart from the word of the Lord, and that we should keep on believing. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that this word was not mixed with faith in their hearts. From Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 to 5, and I will just read verses 2 and 5, we see the what God is saying about these people here. He said the word of God, you know, that was preached to them and so forth, did not profit them anything, not being mixed with faith in their hearts. For them that heard it, was not mixed in faith. And the Lord had promised to give them rest, but the faith was not there. You know, so because of that, they missed it. They missed the mark. And in verse 6, he says to them, seeing therefore it remained that some of them must enter in, and they to whom he was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, and so on and so forth. So we see that, look, even though God gave the word, their unbelief prevented them from getting in. And we have talked about that story in Numbers 14. I'm not going to do that one today. In Jude, I was going to say Jude chapter 1. And there's only one Jude, one chapter in Jude. In Jude, verse 5, gives you the same thing. I will put you in remembrance, even though you knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So it is very important, even though God gave the word, these contradictions will come up. And how do we handle these contradictions? You know, the reference to the story, I'm not going to read it today, but you can read it yourself. Numbers 14, verses 22 to 34. It's all in there. You know, so we're not going to read it today. The people that did not meet and that could not get into the promised land because of their unbelief, and God rejected them and the promise was breached. But we're not going to go read that one today. We've covered that many times before. So today, let's go back and revisit some of these things that we may face. Even after God has given the word, you know, just because God gave the word, you believe in God, you're trusting God for it, and then you get into it, then all hell breaks loose. You know, you may be an entrepreneur, you know, and you've been praying and God's been moving your heart, and then you start the business, then all hell breaks loose. And all you get is trouble. You've been praying for the job, and you get the job. And then all you get after that is trouble, bitter waters, and so forth. You'll be praying for a spouse even, and then you marry, and it's nothing but trouble the first year or so. You know, people are even praying for a child and so forth. You know, and they say, train up the child in the way it should go. You train them, and then they get to be a teenager, and then they don't listen to anything anymore. You know, but What do all these things mean? Well, God is fixing to change the story and turn the bitter waters back into sweetness so that you can drink of it. Remember, these are just trials of your faith. You know, we already preached on, you know, did a room on faith and trial. You know, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold and things that perish. This trial of your faith, God is the one allowing. Remember, the Lord said in Psalms 89 and verse 34 that he will not alter the thing that is gone out of his mouth. He's not a man that he should lie like that, you know, so he will not alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. If the Lord said it, he will also make good. But God's not the only one that's hearing the word when he says it. You are hearing it. That devil and his cohorts are also hearing it. You know, so if you think that the devil is just going to stand by and just let you inherit, you know, the blessing that God promised you, then you've got another thing coming. You know, so that's not how it works. A devil is, his job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If he cannot steal the words of God from you, he will try, you know, when you finally get the thing, he will try to kill it. Now, remember the story of the Shunammite woman. You know, she was a great woman, you know, Bible said, and every time Elisha went by that way, she said, well, you know, come over here and eat bread. And, you know, he would stop by and then finally she said to her husband, look, I perceive that this man is a man of God. Let's create a little room for him, put a little table where he can study the word of God. Give him some space every time. Let him turn in here. She did. Husband agreed. They did. One thing led to another. Elisha asked his servant, this woman is always being so careful for us. What does she need? Well, the woman said, should I speak to the king for her? What is it? And all that. Woman said, no, I dwell in the midst of my people. I'm quite satisfied. And then the servant tells Elisha, but the woman doesn't have a child. Elisha said, aha, that's it now. And he turns to the woman and said, you know, by the word of the Lord, according to the time of life, you will have a child. You will embrace a child. The woman said, oh, my Lord, please don't give me false hope. Now, this is possible that she had been prayed for, prophesied to before, in order for her to make that kind of statement. Maybe she even had the pregnancy, but she lost the pregnancy. I don't know. I mean, but something made her make that statement. Don't give me false hope. She even said, don't lie to me. Don't give me false hope and so forth. Because, you know, somebody's told her before. She has heard that word before. It's not the first time, you know, and all that. You know, Elisha stood his ground. You say, well, you're going to have the child. Okay. So, you know, the devil could not really steal the word. It came to pass, just like the man of God said, because the devil would try to steal the words. He tried to steal the words out of the woman's heart through unbelief, through discouragement of all the things that happened in the past. But God had mercy on her nonetheless, because of all the great things that she had been doing to the man of God. You know, and so God had mercy on her. So the devil couldn't steal the words. Okay, so the devil said, all right, fine. After that you have the child, I'm going to kill the child. So if you can't steal the promise from coming to pass, then I'm going to kill that promise as soon as it starts. You know, so that's why as soon as you started the business, the devil would try to kill it. Because all the contradictions against the word of promise. As soon as you start that new job, he's going to try to kill it, you know, because of all kinds of things. You know, take this word in your heart today. If you haven't experienced it yet, it's coming. You know, and as soon as the child is born, Revelation 12 and 5, that devil is going to try to devour that child. That's exactly right. This is what he does all the time. The Lord showed that even in the great things that have to do with God's eternal purpose, you know, how God was going to bring forth that child finally. That dragon is waiting to devour the child. As soon as if you cannot prevent the child from being born, then as soon as the child is born, I'm going to destroy it. But he lost. Same thing when Jesus, you know, they couldn't prevent the devils and all the devils in hell could not prevent his birth. They tried to make sure he had no room to be born and all kinds of things like that, you know, but they couldn't prevent it. Came forth anyway. And then he said, well, okay, he's here now. Well, we're going to try to kill the child. You know, so Herod sent instructions to kill the child, but God delivered him anyhow. So if the devil can't steal the words of God from you, you know, when you get that promise, he's going to try to kill it. Go 3 days in the wilderness and then the Lord will command us. Well, as soon as you get there, there will be no water. And if you find water, it's going to be bitter. It's going to be all kinds of problems, you know, even though the Lord said for you to go there. So keep this in mind, folks. And then, you know, that's his goal, the devil, to steal, destroy your dreams, destroy your passion, destroy your vision, destroy everything. And that's what he will try to do. The word of the Lord, 105, Psalm 105, 15, was trying Joseph. And he didn't know it was the word of the Lord then. It's the Holy Spirit that's revealing to us now through the writings of David that it was the word of the Lord that was trying him. But it seemed like his life was going to end. I mean, there was problem after problem after problem. You know, so what is it that the Lord has told you? I mean, there are examples, even in the Bible, of great things. You know, even Abraham, the great man of faith, which everybody calls the father of faith. When the Lord promised Abraham, you know, to have, you know, a child and so forth. Well, he waited many, many years, 25 to be exact, before that promise came to pass. You know, and as if that's not enough, finally, when he gets that child, and he loves that child dearly, because now he's thinking in his head, because the Lord said, you know, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. And he doesn't know that that's Christ. He's thinking that it's this little Isaac. You know, so he's saying, oh, well, so he loves his child dearly. Now, all of a sudden, God tells him, no, bring the child to the altar and kill the child. I mean, it's like, you know, I waited 25 years for this thing. And this thing finally happened. And now I have to go kill the child. This is the reason why God swore with a great hand that surely blessing I will bless you, because nevertheless, he obeyed the voice of the Lord. My goodness. He passed that test. How many people will pass a test like that? You know, I doubt it. You know, in fact, everybody today will be speaking in tongues, praying, rebuking that voice and everything like that. You know, because they, you know, there's no way in the world that God is going to ask you to do such a thing. You know, especially when God was the one that gave you the blessing of the Lord. We're going to quote it, Proverbs 10:22 and whatever. We'll quote it to ourselves. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He added no sorrow. The God blessed me with this child. There's no way that God could tell me to bring this child to the altar. Well, he did. God told him. But the difference is this. Look, you have got to know the voice of the Lord. You know, that in a way that your mind is unshakable when it is his voice. You just know it. It takes practice. Somewhere when he was a little boy, his mother fulfilled her oath and took him to the house of God. And he was there. He was an altar boy. He was serving under Eli. And every day they were in the temple and all the things. And he grew up around that temple, but he knew not the voice of God. And when God was calling him, he had no clue that it was God calling him. Ran to Eli a few times. And Eli finally taught him that, yeah, that must be God calling you. Here's what you say next time. You know, so we got to learn the voice of God and be unshakable in your faith. There was another man called Gideon that did not know the voice of God at first. So when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and called him a mighty man of valor, he said, look, you know, if I be a mighty man of valor, where are all the miracles that we've heard? And where are all these things that are happening to us? You know, and so forth. And he said, well, you know, if it is the Lord that's speaking to us, so let, you know, let me test this. Let me have here, over here, you know, let the little miss, you know, he's going to put a bunch of cutting wool or something somewhere on the ground and say, tomorrow, when I get up, let only this thing be wet and all the ground around it be dry. Because he doesn't know the word of the Lord yet. So he's going to prove it. And so the Lord did that thing. He said, okay, well, that was easy. You know, maybe the sponge soaked up the water. Well, let it be the reverse. Let everything be wet around the sponge and let the sponge be dry. And then the Lord did it. And he said, ah, now I know it is the voice of God. And God, have mercy on him. God was your patient with him. But I tell you, once he figured out the word of the Lord and the voice of God, After that, all we heard was, and God said to Gideon, and God said to Gideon, and God said to Gideon. Even when it came to him, God proving, you know, the Gideon's army, you know, and so forth, God spoke to him. He didn't doubt it anymore. Same thing with Samuel. God said to Samuel, God said to Samuel, God said to Samuel. Once they figured out that it was the word of God. Now, have you figured out the voice of God in your life? Once you figure it out, and if he tells you to go 3 days journey, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, will you now doubt that it was the voice of God and then reverse everything and go back to Egypt? Will you now doubt? And once he tells you and you figure out it's the word of God and say, let's pass on to the other side, will you now run to him and say, Lord, why do you not care that we perish? The Lord already said, let's pass on to the other side. End of story. That's it. He said it. Done. You will get to the other side. Now, he doesn't always have to tell you that there is a storm coming. But Jesus knew the storm was coming. But Jesus also knew that the word that he spoke will sustain them through the storm. It doesn't mean that Jesus will, you know, prevent the storm from coming. You know, no, just because he gave you the word, you are going to head right into the storm sometimes. You know, it's called the eye of the storm. You go right into it. But Jesus said, look, the word of God said it also in Isaiah 43:2. When, not if, when you pass through, but you are passing through. Hallelujah. It's always passing through. It's not when you go into the river, and it's not when you go into the fire. It's when you pass through the fire. And when you pass through the river, the psalmist said the same thing. When I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, and Jesus said, let us pass through to the other side, so that word will sustain itself. But sometimes he'll send you right into the storm. He'll send you right into the storm. And he did. He sent the disciples right into the storm. And as if that was not enough, he went to sleep on them. And sometimes God will be silent. After he gave you the word, and then it seems like he sent you right into the storm, then all of a sudden he goes silent on you. He will go silent. And then you'll be praying and you will not hear anything again. But he already gave the word. End of story. Oh, yeah. So Jesus, when he got up, and they came and said, Lord, how can you be sleeping at a time like this? You don't care that we perish? Jesus woke up and said, what's happening? He said, Lord, the storm and everything. We're going to perish. And Jesus was actually disappointed at them. And for their sakes, Jesus rebuked the storm, but he had no intention whatsoever of rebuking that storm to start with. He was just going to sleep through the storm, ride out the storm, because he already said we're passing through the other side. There's no need to rebuke the storm. That storm will come. God may not rebuke the storm. Hallelujah. But after he rebuked the storm, then he rebuked the disciples also for their lack of faith. And Jesus actually had more faith in them than they had in him. Think about that. Jesus knew they could handle the situation. And so he went to sleep. He didn't care. He just went to sleep. But they didn't have faith in his word. They panicked. And now let me say it to you this way. This is another word today. Another punchline. When the Lord gives you the word, like, let us pass on to the other side. It is not the mastery of the shipmaster or the lack of a storm that is going to get you there. It is the word that's going to sustain itself. Now, so storm will come. Shipmaster may not even know what to do, but that word will get you there. Glory to God. This was seasoned fishermen. They've been through all kinds of storms, but this was something they couldn't handle or thought they couldn't handle. But little did they know that word that he spoke, all these things are in the Bible for our examples, to teach us stuff. That when God gives you the word, he may be actually sending you into that storm. But it's not really into the storm. It's through the storm. So Holy Ghost just corrected me there. God will never send you into the storm, but he will send you through the storm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for correcting that. So into is a dead end. He will never send you into the storm, but he may send you through the storm. You may have to pass through the storm to get to where you are going. And the first 3 days may be all he tells you. But you got to wait for his word again after that. Don't start to grumble. Don't let your heart go back to Egypt just after 3 days, your journey. Just don't worry about it. He already said he's going to take you to the land, the promised land. Keep believing. Wait for another word. God gives his word incrementally. God doesn't reveal his entire word to anybody. He will just give you step by step. You got to go out by faith. When God called Abraham, this story is all over the Bible, and told him to leave the land of where he was and go someplace else, he left not knowing where he went. You can read that story in Hebrews chapter 11. God didn't tell him everything. But God said, leave the place where you are and go somewhere that I will show you. And that was enough for Abraham, and he did. But sometimes we want God to tell us every single last thing before we take the next step. Well, if he did, then that would not be faith. Faith is putting your life in his hands. Some people say, I trust this person with my life. I don't know if you can trust anybody with your life, but you can trust the Lord with your life. If he already said it, he said, let's go to the land of Canaan. That's where you're going. Whether you stop, your first stop is at the wilderness of Shur and there's no water. Whether your next step is at the waters of Marah that are bitter. It doesn't matter. You keep on believing. He'll get you there. He will get you through the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, all of them. He'll get you through there. But you have to believe step by step. The bitter waters that you are facing today, after you came out with a great hand, and just after 3 days or more, you are in bitter waters, God is fixing to turn them and make them sweet. Glory to God. And he can do it too, and he will do it too. But you will never get a chance to see those waters being turned to sweetness if you already turned back to Egypt. So you can't turn back. You cannot turn back. The same thing with us following the Lord. Some people preach to people today that give your life to God, give your life to Christ, and everything will be all right. I don't know where they got that gospel from. That's certainly not in the Bible. Bible never said, give your life to Christ and everything will be hunky-dory. It's no such thing in the Bible. However, he will never leave you nor forsake you, is what he said. Deuteronomy 6 and 8, he said, the Lord, it is he that doth go with you. Deuteronomy 31 verses 6 and 8, I meant to say. He said it in the two verses, Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 and also Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. It is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. He will not fail you. That's what he said. He didn't say everything is going to be rosy. No, he will be with you. He will not fail you. Now, were you going to have tribulation? Of course. Jesus said it himself. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world on your behalf. Well, what does that mean? Well, he said it. And that's the way it is. You will have tribulation. John 16 and verse 33. He said, I've spoken these things to you that in me ye might have peace. You will not have peace in the world, but in me you will have peace. And when we are praying, for God to remove the storm, will he remove the storm? He may or may not. but he will give you grace to pass through. Read what he said in Philippians chapter 4. You know, read what he said in verses 6 and 7. In verse 6, he said, look, be anxious for nothing. Don't be run off with, you know, like chicken's head cut off. You know, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what did he say next in verse 7? Did he say, and God will solve all the problems and make all the storms go away? No, he never said any such thing. He said, and the peace of God will, that passes all understanding, even through the storm, will keep your heart and mind. You know, that's it. The kind of peace that Jesus gives is not because of the absence of a storm. As a matter of fact, it is peace through the storm. Now, peace can be the absence of storm. Peace can be the absence of trouble. But the peace that God is talking about in Philippians 6, 7 is not because he removed the problem. He didn't say he will remove the problem. But he said he will give you peace. You know, and as a matter of fact, God wants you to be bigger than your problem. That's another punchline for today. Oh, our prayer doesn't always have to be, Father, remove the storm, Father, remove the storm, Father, remove the storm. No, not necessarily. In fact, God told Paul, look, don't even ask me about this thing again. Because he kept asking, Lord, remove the storm, remove the thorn in my flesh, remove the thorn in my flesh. And God said, no, don't ask me again. You know, but your prayer should be, Lord, give me the grace to handle that thorn in my flesh. So God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Glory to God. So God, your prayer should be, Lord, make me bigger than the storms that I may be passing through. Hallelujah. You know, not, he may not remove the storm. He may, and he may not. And they, you know, chances are that he will not remove the storm because he wants you to pass through. Because the process is important to God, not just the end game. The end, if it was the end game, Jesus would not have prayed what he prayed in John chapter 17 when he was praying to the Father concerning all his disciples and you and me. And he said, Lord, you know, the Father, you know, I've shown them your word and all these things and so forth. I've manifested your word to them. And I pray, verse 16, I mean 15, he said to, you know, to the Father, John 17 and 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. I mean, if the end game was the only thing that was important, Jesus would have prayed to the Father and would have said, Father, I pray that as soon as they are converted, as soon as they believe in me, take them out of the world. That's the prayer he would have prayed. But he didn't pray that prayer. As a matter of fact, he said, Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but let them have peace in me. So Jesus never prayed for the end game. He prayed for the process. Glory to God. So the process, you know, the end game is guaranteed. It's a done deal. It's a process that you have to deal with. Glory to God. You know, when I was a young man, I read a lot of novels. And when I picked up the novel, the first thing I read was I turned to the back, or the epilogue, they called it, or whatever it was, and try to figure out how the thing ended. I'll read that first. And then I try to fill in the blanks in my head before I even read the story. You know, we already know how the game ended. We know that. Glory to God. They say, you know, shall possess the kingdom. The time shall come when the king shall possess the kingdom. And the kingdom that God will give to them shall not be left to other people. It shall be an everlasting kingdom. And he will give them a rod of iron. And they shall reign with him. And Jesus said it himself. You know, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. Glory to God. Even as I overcame, my goodness. And I am set with my Father in his throne. Glory to God. Revelation 3:21. That's the greatest of all the promises. You know, so we know that that's the end game. We know also in Revelation 11:15, that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. That's the end game too. You know, but how do we get there? You know, so Jesus wasn't praying in John 17 and 15 about the end game. He was talking about that process. Don't take them out of the world. Keep them right there, but give them that victory. Keep them from the evil one. The process was important to him. Hallelujah. So the process is important. After that 3 days journey, when you get to the wilderness and there is no water, are you going to turn back? And then if he said after 3 days he will command us, well, what did he say to you after that first challenge? Did he tell you to turn back? And if he tell you to go forward, and when you go forward again, try to go forward again, the waters you meet, even after that, might still be bitter. But the Lord is proving you. Glory to God. And every step of the way, you've got to win each fight. You got to come out on top. If you faint, Proverbs 24 and 10. If you faint along the way in any of these things, then the Lord may be disappointed. He will say, well, your strength is little. You know, Proverbs 24, 10 says, look, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is little. You know, but be strong in the Lord. Don't let your strength be little. Be strong. Be very courageous. That's what God told Joshua. Glory to God. So, Caleb was a man that believed God along with Joshua. And when he believed God, you know, there was a time that he also said some things. You know, he put down his claim in Joshua chapter 14. Let me read this to you before I bring this to an end. You know, when it came to a place when finally Joshua was trying to distribute the land. So Caleb came up before Joshua. And he said, he's going to lay down his claim now. And he said, look, let me read it from verse 5. So as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they're dividing the land. But it's Joshua that is leading this. And so the children of Israel or Judah came unto Joshua, you know, for him to divide the land to them. And Caleb, who was his partner in faith back then, you know, everybody else disbelieved, but it was Caleb that believed with this guy. So he came and said to him, look, remember Isaiah 43 and verse 26, declare it that you may be justified. Hezekiah did the same thing. He said, look, Lord, you know how I have feared you and served you with all my heart. And now this prophet had told me that I'm going to die and not live. You know, he declared his cause. We talked about that yesterday. And God changed the world around. So Joshua came here and said, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. We were the only ones that believed God. 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me, you know, to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went out with me, Andy, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore unto me that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And behold, now God has kept me alive these 45 years, you know, since the Lord spake this word, you know, and I am today 85 years old, and I am still as strong today, glory to God, as I was 45 years ago, you know, hallelujah, both to go out and to go in for war. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. He's going to lay claim to it now. Glory to God. I'm going to preach on that some other day. So let me leave that there. But he believed God all the way through. And so now he can lay claim. And Joshua blessed him and gave him, Hebron. Glory to God. Hebron, he gave it to him. for an inheritance. It was a very good land. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, you know, the son of Jephunneh, even unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So, here's our challenge to you today. Well, where are you in the process? The process right now, you may be at the point where you've been there, you followed the first word that said, take a step of faith. You did. And then you got there, and all of a sudden there is no water. And then you tried a little something, you know, and then, but, you know, you got water, but it was still bitter. But what are you going to do? You know, when Jesus says, Peter says, is that you, Lord? If it is you, let me, bid me come unto the water. And Jesus said, come now. And Peter gets out of the boat. Look, you must step out of the boat by faith. But you must keep your eyes on the promise. Glory to God. Yeah. You cannot look on the waves that are boisterous. The waves were boisterous the whole time. It wasn't just your stepping out of the water that made the waves to be boisterous. The waves were already boisterous. But as long as you were focused on Christ and not the waves, you could walk on the water. But the moment you remove your eyes from the promise, which is calm, you know, and then you look around, say, oh, I can't swim. I can't walk on water. Then you begin to drown. You know, I can't walk on water. Of course you can. Keep your eye on the master. You know, keep your eye on the master. Don't look to the boisterous waves around you. Got to keep your eye on the promise. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. Hallelujah. I pray over this room this morning. Now, you've heard the word. What are you going to do with it? Glory to God. You know, this word is incremental that we have been sharing in this room. There's nothing new here that you have never heard before. Maybe a slight revelation and a slight twist of how God will bring it. You know, but every day, you know, here a little, there a little. Line upon line, preset upon preset. God is working something in us to bring us an exceeding weight of glory. He said, your light affliction, which you have right now, is nothing compared to what God will have for you at the end. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is nothing to compare to what God will have for us at the end. The victory is not, the troubles that we are passing through now, they are nothing compared to what God has for us at the end. The scripture actually calls it light affliction. Well, it doesn't seem light to us at the moment when we are going through it, but in God's mind, you know, you are already passing through. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17. He said, look, our light affliction, which we have now, cannot be compared with the exceeding weight of glory, which is coming. You know, so God, whatever you are going through now, he already got it fixed. You will pass through. Glory to God. You will pass through, but it's just for a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, don't look at the boisterous waves and everything, you know, but you look at the promise. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your eyes on the promise. So last but not the least, let me tell you what our prayer path is going to be this morning. The prayer path is going to be, Lord, you spoke the word. I went a 3 days journey, like you said, but, you know, all I meet is trouble. No water, you know, no breakthrough, it looks like, and no rest for the weary. After 3 days journey, no rest at all. You know, seems like you are even more fatigued than when you started, because the water that should have been there to refresh you was not there. And then another small word will come and say, okay, go forward to Mara. And then, oh, you get a little bit of, you know, reprieve sometimes. But when you get that, the water is bitter. The job that you prayed for, and when you begin to earn that money, it's like you put it in a bag of holes. You know, it's like, you know, there's trouble everywhere on that job that you prayed for. You know, people, we were in our marriage ministry room yesterday, and people were talking about different things, you know. And some people were talking about like, the first few years of their marriage was like, that they were right throwing the towel. You know, because the marriage you prayed for, and you were in love and everything, after your honeymoon, your eye then cleared. And it's like, oh my goodness, I want out of here. Yeah. But if you got out of there, then you wouldn't have a testimony. You know, so, you know, everything on and on and on. Even though God gave the word, you are going to meet all kinds of challenges on the way. And especially because God gave the word, you will meet all kinds of challenges on the way. But remember, he will turn the bitter waters to sweetness. Glory to God. That's the end game. He will turn those bitter waters, you know, the bitter waters that you are tasting right now, he will turn them into sweetness. But you got to stay with the process. You must stay with the process. There is the end game, but you got to stay with the process. Jesus himself went through the process. Isaiah gave us the process in Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6, he said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is presented. From the time that he was born to the time that he rose finally from the dead and now seated in the right hand of God forever, you know, principalities and powers being made subject unto him, you know, and all that. There's a lot of things in between. So, being born and getting to the place of full sonship, that's a lot of things in between. I'll be covering that in my transformation series when I get there. But there is a process, always a process. That process for you to get to the promised land, you have to go through Shur, you have to go through Mara, you have to go through the Jebusites, the Hittites, you know, and all these people before you get to the Canaanites. Before you can dispossess your enemies, there's going to be all kinds of testings along the way. So, Father, I begin to pray over this room, Lord, this morning. We have released your word, glory to God, and your word will not come unto you void. And we said at the beginning, when I started this room, in case you were late, I gave a scripture at the beginning, John chapter 6, verse 63. I said, you must engage God in the spirit. That the words that I will speak, even though you are hearing it from me, you have to actually hear it from the Spirit of God for it to make an impact. And I pray that prayer at the beginning and say, Lord, let us engage him in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because the spirit is what quickeneth. It's what Jesus said in that verse. John 6 and 63. The flesh profits nothing. So if you are just here, just hearing me in the flesh, it profits nothing. You have to engage in the spirit. It is the spirit that gives life. And the words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. So Father, I pray that we have engaged the Lord in the spirit. And if anyone engaged this message in the flesh, go back and listen to it in the spirit again. When you engage God in the spirit, because the letter killeth, you know, when you engage God in the spirit that gives life, the spirit will give interpretation to the message. It will give you understanding inside your inner man. And then in fact, he will take you to deeper dimensions of even what, deeper than even what the speaker spoke. Glory to God. That's why I often, after I finish speaking, I ask for reaction. Because sometimes when I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit will drop an understanding in your spirit that's even beyond what I said. You know, and when you captivate, you know, I mean, it'll be captivating. And when you can capture that moment, I also want you to share it. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us this morning. We run with it. Glory to God. We've made the vision plain. So let the hearers run with it in the name of Jesus. And Father, yes, we know that there will be bitter waters along the way. And some of my experience even bitter waters right now. But glory to God. The Bible says that God showed Moses a tree. God's the one that's going to show you the solution. Glory to God. He will show you that solution. Hallelujah. And there is a solution that will turn the bitter waters to sweetness. You know, you're going to have to pass through that place of bitter waters. You're going to have to pass through the place of no water at all. And then you're going to have to pass through the place of, you know, bitter waters. Because God is the one that mapped the journey. He already mapped it. If you try to go some other ways, you're going to get into serious problems. God has mapped this journey. And this journey has no water some places, bitter water in other places, thorns and things, serpents along the way, and all kinds of things. Jebusites, Hittites, and Perizzites, and all these things along the way. But, you know, keep your eyes on the promised land. And as you go through the process, you know, let him have his, you know, let's say, Bible say, let patience have her perfect work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. I believe that I am done. And I am going to invite you to come to the stage and give your reactions to the message. And then we are going to close out the room by praying together. You know, so if you can, I'm sending invites to, you know, multiple people in the room. And if you want to raise your hand, go ahead. We'll bring you to the stage. Come on to the stage. Share, you know, the impact that this has made on you, and share the word of God that God inspired in you. When you were listening, you got even a deeper revelation than some things I said. You got it. So come to the stage and share it, that we may all be blessed in it. And I hope I'm not missing anybody that raised their hand. I have sent some invites to some people to come to the stage. And if you have something to say, come to the stage and let's share together. Glory to God. And this is an opportunity for us to express our faith. Have you heard the word of God today? Do you know the voice of God? You know, did God speak to you? You know, maybe he only gave you a portion initially. 3 days is all he told you. But you know, if you don't believe God fully in your heart, it will turn to 40 years. You don't want that to be the case. So you better believe God with all your heart. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.